KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan as we draw closer to the Odyssey Town Hall where people will not be around, and I feel like we can do whatever the heck we want.
Isn't that kind of every day?
Oh, man, that is a good point. That is a very good point. Right now, how about we do some NFL overreaction or reality?
Now, what?
I feel like I overreacted just now.
Well, you understood the assignment.
You're ready for this segment. Now, try not to be alarmed. I definitely saw this first question on CBS, and I don't really agree with it, but I thought I'd throw it out there. The Cowboys are keeping the Micah Parsons drama going because they're not Super Bowl contenders. Overreaction or reality?
Oh, wow. That is an overreaction.
But you could see.
But it is an alternate reality.
Okay.
And that is because, Kevin, if there's one thing, I know we discussed this at length yesterday during overreaction or reality, but if there's one thing that the Jerry Jones documentary highlighted, it is that Jerry is a genius businessman.
I agree with that.
And I don't think anybody can disagree with it, honestly. You might not like the way the business is done.
Sure.
But it's like, it's sometimes it's diabolical.
Right.
Sometimes it's brilliant. And even Jimmy Johnson tweeted it out to Wolchuk. Hey, he is the most brilliant businessman and marketer I've ever worked with. And so that alternate reality of Micah Parsons, this whole thing being part of the business so that it, hey, look, we know we're not a good team. We got a new head coach. Use this as a distraction. It's part of the thing. You know, I think it's part of the giant wheel that the Cowboys is, but I don't think it's the main focus.
Alec, overreaction or reality, the Cowboys are drawing this out because they know they're not a Super Bowl contender.
I'm going to say overreaction because, one, I don't think they'll ever lay down and just openly admit that, especially before a single regular season game has been played. It's a little interesting of a thought process there. But I think they're drawing it out for the exact reason that they always do. Attention gets people to talk. And even if they were Super Bowl contenders, I feel like this would still be happening, which is ridiculous. It's just the way that the family and the organization runs. We're still talking about it. It's at the point where I feel like Nick Eatman this morning, where he was like, I'm done predicting this. Because it feels like the story changes every day. You get a dude with a dog as his Twitter picture that won't put a face to any of his fake reports out here getting people to talk about stuff just because there's nothing new. And it's working. It's 100% working. This is exactly what they want. They just want people to keep talking about it because it's intriguing, whether we like it or not.
Can I throw one more wrinkle that we've talked about in the past, but it is on Pro Football Talk now, and I realize the wide reach that they have, and I think that's probably going to pick up some traction. But we've already talked about this. But if you are not aware, Micah Parsons, or I guess his team, his agent, had filed a grievance earlier this year about his positional designation for his rookie tag. And so he thinks he should be at linebacker for the $24.007 million, which is what we all thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be for the longest time, as opposed to the designation of defensive end and $21.324 million. You might be like, who cares? We're talking about bigger numbers than that. So a $2.6 million gap is probably not going to matter that much. Here's why I think it's going to matter going forward. You remember the other day when Sean asked for help with the math? Yep. And I said, I think the Cowboys are underestimating what his franchise tag numbers are going to be. This is the reason why. Is I think this has been the goal all along. So some of these players that really got paid, that are still like registered as the outside linebacker or whatever, as opposed to a defensive end. The Cowboys are going out the defensive end franchise tag when in reality, the explosion of contracts could hit them at another position. And so I think that's another reason among all the other things that we've talked about why Micah and his team might be digging in, because they fundamentally, and think about how big of a gap there is to overcome. If you don't even agree on what your position is, so what your rookie number is, let alone what future franchise tags are, that we're not even starting out with common ground.
All pro safety Kyle Hamilton, Kevin, just got an extension.
Ooh, how much?
4 year, $100.4 million extension.
And that means
$25.1 million a year. That's $4 million more than Kirby Joseph. Who's the next highest?
See, I just assumed that that meant Joseph or whoever had a four-year $100 million deal. And he's like, give me the .4, which again, sounds absurd. That's $400,000. Never forget that.
$82 million guaranteed.
Woo!
For safety.
Is a high guarantee percentage. Good for him.
Yeah.
He's badass. So that...
Yeah, when you're badass, you get paid like a badass.
Yes, most of the time.
Well.
But apparently not all the time, because we can't even agree
what he's badass,
like the rookie number is and go from there. So I just, whenever people argue they thought they had a handshake agreement, Micah thinks it would have been foolish that you're never going to talk with the agent. They can't even agree on the position.
According to Tom Pelissero, Rashee Rice is accepting and will serve a 6-game suspension to start 2025. The NFL and PA are working to finalize the settlement, which will end Rice's disciplinary limbo and make him eligible to return week 6 versus Vegas.
Now, let's go to the fan text for an overreaction or reality question from the 806. Overreaction or reality? Roger Goodell is a tolo, and he heard me talking about how the NFL is glazing the Chiefs, and now that's why they have changed their decision.
Reality.
That's what I think.
I mean, Roger Goodell has reacted to a lot of things we've said on this show, like immediately. So
that actually is true.
It is kind of wild. So yeah, I'm going to say that's a reality. Kevin, the 6-game suspension. Serviceable,
yeah,
for what he did.
And plus, if you look at the constraints of the NFLPA, I do think that the NFL's hands are tied to a certain extent about how long the suspensions can be. But this feels acceptable. I like that it starts straight away. Like, I'm never a fan of, and then I promise we'll get back
to
the questions.
We'll tell you when we start the suspension.
Yeah.
That's the one that drives me nuts.
I hate that too. And also with athletes, when like you get a deferred jail sentence and they're like, but don't worry, you can serve it
3 years from now.
You can serve it 2 days at a time when that's convenient for you. Bull crap. You got jail. Go to jail. Right?
You got jail.
Yeah. Like, even in Monopoly, you can't get away with that crap. You can't be like, I'm going to go visit after I pass go 2 more times.
From the 214, only 6 games for Rice, BS.
Again, I will have to read more into the agreement they have with the NFLPA. I think there are some constraints in play there.
All right.
There you go. And something else that Pelissero noted, Kevin, is that the NFL proposed a suspension of 10 to 12 games. And Rice's team fought back and said there was no precedent for any kind of suspension of that length.
I think they were pushing for 4, yep. if I remember correctly.
And that's the issue. And honestly, I think 6 games is a win for Rice and his team. But that's where you get stuck right there, is even if it's not in the current collective bargaining agreement, it is hard to go after a penalty that would be 2 to 2.5 times wider than any other penalty for like a similar type of grievance. So I understand how precedent could have done them in right there. All right. NFL overreaction reality. By the way, thank you both very much. That was a plethora of relevant NFL news. So thank you very much for keeping us all up to date.
We try to do what we can, Kevin.
The Corey and Alec news desk is always open for business. NFL overreaction or reality. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to start at least 3 games for the Rams this year.
Oh, reality.
I like those responses because then it feels like it was a good question.
Yeah. Well, and I'd love to see this another Matt Stafford run. Like, I really would. Local kid goes off and has a career in Detroit that just was underwhelming because it was Detroit. And then lands in a place that's the perfect place for him. Elway finished his career with two, you know, like that right off into the sunset kind of thing. But back injuries are weird. Alec can attest to that. Sure. I can attest to that. Backs will go out on you out of nowhere.
Right.
And so if that was something that if his back seemed like a real situation that he was dealing with. But I believe there will be, let's say they've earned their playoff spot. That could be the last game of the season. He's not playing. And there might be a couple of other games where he has some injuries that he has to deal with. So I can see it.
Look, and you used Alec as an example, and one of the reasons is he's so young.
Yeah.
And then you think of the 37-year-old who's been playing a lot of football, and it just stands to reason. This is not meant as a knock against Matthew Stafford. Overreaction or reality, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to start at least three games for the Rams this year.
I'll say reality, and if you want to make it even more understandable for the audience, look at Evan Carter. He is so young, but that bad back is definitely giving him plenty of issue and keeping him from playing in games, not at the moment, but you've seen it in the past where, you know, a guy as young as he is, barely into his 20s, you know, he's having to miss a ton of time because, you know, given it's a longer season and whatnot. But again, to your point, Kevin, this is a guy who is on the wrong side of 35 that we're talking about that has played a ton of football. I think that it might even be one of those games where if they're playing as good as they hope, they say, look, there's no reason for you to play.
Right.
Like if it's even giving you a second thought
right.
of if you should be out there, it's okay. Take this game off. We'll try again next week.
Now, somebody at the Fantex asked a question, which another person on the Fantex answered that question, despite not knowing what the question was. And I always think that that is really neat. From the 214, what did Rashee Rice do again? From another 214, here is essentially what happened. Bro was driving 100 miles per hour plus on Central, caused wrecks that sent people to the hospital and fled the scene. Should have been a year. I understand what you're saying. And I also think that's a good synopsis of what happened. I understand what you're saying. I am not advocating for a lighter sentence. I just understand when they talk about the precedent and the way the collective bargaining agreement is set up, why it landed at six games. I like that they didn't push off the sentence until after all their big time primetime games were done. And they're like, you have to start serving this straight away. And then somebody added about deferred jail sentences. I don't have an issue with that concept. It's when it's for a rich or famous person. And they're like, let's work into your schedule about when you can be in jail. NFL overreaction or reality? Corey, I'm sorry for this question. Mike McDaniel or Brian Daboll will be the first NFL coach fired this season.
I'm going to say McDaniel. I think
you get both.
I think no.
Okay. Oh,
I don't think Daboll's getting fired.
Because okay. Jackson Dart's going
to
save
his job. Think he tied himself to Jackson Dart, and I think the Giants understood that they screwed up with Daniel Jones, and they were like, Daboll, we like. Daniel Jones was bad.
Okay.
And that's a very rare situation, right? Because a coach will come in and they're like, well, just get rid of everything and let's clean house. I think that they've committed to Daboll. But Mike McDaniel, Kevin, his team came out and said, we lied last year about being together on this thing. And so like that right there signals that you don't have a collective group in that room and you're supposed to be the leader of men as much as you are a sharp play caller.
Bonus question then for both of y'all. More likely that Mike McDaniel gets fired in season or the Dolphins make the playoffs?
Oh,
more likely that Mike McDaniel gets fired in season.
Oof, I could see that.
I think I'm there with Corey. Even though I hate the idea of firing a coach in season, I don't think it benefits anybody. I think I would lean that way, and I think I would say reality to the original question with McDaniel being the one. I am interested to see, though, how strong the connection is with Chris Greer, the GM. like, if he's going to be like, that's my guy, I'm going to let him play out the season. And then you get to the end of the season and the owner's like, okay, both of y'all are out since you didn't want to get rid of him. That would be, that's what, man, I'm waiting to see.
Yeah, that would be pretty wild.
Kevin, I was watching a video clip of Colin Hanks.
Yeah.
Was on with Rich Eisen.
Okay.
And Rich Eisen goes, you and your dad watched football games together in a weird way. And he said, can you explain it? And Colin Hanks said, yeah, one day dad just goes, I wonder what kind of stepfather that coach is. And then so every time they see a head coach, they just go, what kind of stepfather do you think he is? And they asked about Mike McDaniels, and he was like, he's a, sup, dude?
Yeah.
Sup, dude?
For sure.
Your friends come in, he's like, sup, dudes?
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh is the kind of guy that when he asks you to do something, he goes, can you do that for me? At the very end of it.
Does he shake your shoulders?
He's holding you. You're going to go out there and be great. I need you to clean your room. Can you do that for me? And then like Dan Campbell's the kind of guy that's like, I need you to clean your room now, you know, kind of guy. And then I think it was Sean McVay was like, sure, buddy.
Yeah.
Pass the potatoes. Sure, buddy. Yeah. Yeah, buddy. I love that idea. And that's all I can think of now whenever I think of Mike McDaniels.
Okay. All right. Man. Hey, buddy. I appreciate that.
What is Schottenheimer? You look at Schottenheimer like, what do you think? We'll have to come up with a good one for
Schottenheimer
him.
Is the kids come in with their hats like you, and he turns them askew or to the side. And he's like, oh, this is going to make some people mad. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus, hey, pro athletes skip work too. Next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I want to remind everybody, on Friday, we will be at Uncle Julio's in Frisco doing the show 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., 2401 Preston Road in Frisco. Uncle Julio's, lots of giveaways, fun with us, hopefully good broadcasting all day long this Friday. And now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. Thank you, Jim Carrey, for telling people so I don't have to. It's time.
Is that what that's from?
Yeah, it is.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is that Cable Guy?
No, it's actually from a song.
Oh.
Yeah, he actually featured on The Weeknd's album, Don FM, and he was supposed to be like this ghostly radio host. And so it was like in between songs, he's like, don't you dare touch that dial. Oh. We've got more music coming up, and transitions into another song. So I was like, hey, that kind of fits what I do for a living. That's pretty cool. So we'll put that in an intro. It's time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the Pride of Mansfield, Texas, 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, pro athletes skip out on work to have fun, too. We'll talk about what Le'Veon Bell did during his time with the New York Jets. Get to that here in just a little bit. And I did mention a busy week for me. I was at the Ranger game yesterday. Said hi to a few Tolos out there. Appreciate that. And the next two nights, not just tonight, the next two nights, I will be at AT&T Stadium for the weekend's two-night stay. At AT&T Stadium. So I'll be in the club level tonight. So if you see me walking around the concourse, say what's up if you're going to be there. And I'll be on the floor front row tomorrow. So.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. I don't mean this as a sarcastic question. I'm really asking.
Sure.
So the idea is then that these will be, from your expectations, two totally different experiences in terms of the set list and stuff, or no?
No, because it is a world tour and he's up there for about 2.5 hours.
Wow.
So whenever you start getting into the logistics of that, they usually don't change stuff too much just because he's doing like 50 shows, you know, and it's like, you know, the margin for error gets bigger when you start changing things up. But the anniversary of one of his albums is tomorrow, so maybe we do get something added in there. But the difference for me is I'm going to be up in the 300s tonight with my friends, and then tomorrow I'm going by myself, and I'm sitting front row on the side of the stage. So
no
that's
matter how much you like your friends, you ain't paying front row prices for them.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I was able to get the tickets for the friends early. And then whenever he added the second show here, I just got an incredible box office face value price for a front row seat, which was a lot cheaper than I had imagined. So I was like, yeah. And this is a great conversation because it ties into the question of the day, gentlemen. The National Day Calendar says today is National Just Because Day. So what's the last thing you did for yourself? The last nice thing you did for yourself, just because. Ooh. No other reason. You just said I deserve that. 877-881-1053. What did you do for yourself just because? I think that's my answer for me, is honestly getting that second ticket. I was only planning on going to the first night. He adds the second show. I saw that there was a couple of front row seats left on the side of the stage for face value. And I was like, huh, you know what? And it was on my birthday. I was like, you know what? I deserve that. So I bought the ticket and I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going and I'm sitting front row for night two.
That's a good question, because I was going to say we went to Great Wolf Lodge, but that was for the kids. Like, I had fun to a certain degree.
I hope so.
Yeah, but not as much as the kids.
Did you go stand under the giant bucket that dumps water on you?
I did.
Nice. Oh, that giant
bucket so much.
You just know it's cold.
You know that one kid's about to get knocked down, too. You're like, what's this kid doing? He doesn't know.
He's about to
hit the ground. Yeah,
and you
fly.
Just stay quiet because you know it's going to be entertaining as hell. So you just don't say anything.
I know that the next just because thing I want to do is buying my truck. Like, that's the next just because.
You've been on that for a while.
I deserve it. And it's just, Kevin, it's really more about making sure that everything's squared away before I can do this. You know? Like, that is the
smart.
I don't want to do it and then be like, crap, now I have to give the truck back. I bought myself 3 pairs of shoes.
Well,
just because I was like, I really don't necessarily need them. You know, I could live flip flop free for the rest of my life.
I like that description.
I'm wearing one pair today. I did get a pair of Jordans, and then I got another pair of, again, I didn't need shoes to kind of work out in. I got those 3, though, and I was just like, just because I deserve it. And when my wife was like, you got 3 pairs of shoes? And I was like, I feel like I deserve it, Adrian. And she goes, you know what? You do. And I was like, all right, cool. There we go.
Man, I texted one of my old high school friends. It might have been a teammate. I'm trying to remember who. And I was like, busiest week of my life incoming. And I detailed everything. And they're like, okay, but why? And I said, and I quote, because I deserve it all. And I was like, yeah, that's the kind of mentality. I was like, I needed a pick-me-up week. And I got it.
Yeah.
It costed me a little bit. But I got it. So here we are. So yeah, that's the same mentality. Corey, on the topic of shoes, have you ever had the chance to try a pair of Yeezys?
No, but somebody recently was wearing a pair and they were like, these things are so comfortable.
Yes.
And I was like, really?
I'm wearing a pair of 350s right now.
Whoa. Is that still okay?
Yes, because Adidas actually cut ties with Kanye.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, so a lot of the stock that they're selling off, he doesn't get any of that.
Like trail dust.
Yeah. Cutting ties. So,
It
was a wild period in time when all of that first happened. You could go to the Adidas outlet store down the street and find some really sought-after pairs of Yeezy shoes for like $100.
Huh.
Because they were just trying to get rid of everything they had. So that's how I got some of mine, was because they just wanted to get rid of them. I was like, oh, well, cool. Don't mind if I do. I promise you, the most comfortable pair of shoes you will ever wear.
See, and I saw somebody, he was wearing them just recently. Not the Yeezys, but there was another pair. And he was like, dude, you got to wear these. And I was like, all right. And he was like, even when I put them on, my kids were like, those shoes are awesome. And that is kind of, my kids had kind of like talked me into getting the shoes, and then I finally said, okay, fine, I will. But Yeezys, all right, I'll keep an eye out, Alec.
Yeah, you can get some deals.
I'm glad you told me that about cutting ties. I guess I don't remember that, so.
Yeah, it was like a one-day event because it was like a big press release, like, hey, we don't condone that, we're done.
Yeah.
And then it was like maybe a couple months later, they're like, well, we still have like $12 million in stock, you know, just sitting in a warehouse. So we got to do something
right
about that. So they just discounted a bunch of them and they sold out like crazy. But I was able to get like 2 pairs, and I think I spent like $250 when they usually go for like 200, 250 a pair. So I was like, huh, cool. Why not? And that's one of the pairs I'm wearing right now. I got them for real cheap. So why not? So now nice. I think they're just selling them unbranded. They're just like Adidas 350s or whatever they call them.
Yeah, that's somebody just texted in and said they're called 350s.
Yeah, because the silhouette of the shoe is just so popular that they couldn't just abandon it. Because I don't think he owns the design of the shoe per se. He just attached his name to the design. Adidas owned that trademark and that copyright. So they said, you know what? We're going to keep making the shoes. So now they're probably back to full price, but they have no ties to him anymore. So yeah, pretty easy to find for like a good 6 months. You could find them at the local mall for dirt cheap. But there are still like some of those colorways that are still super sought out. I'm not as big into shoes as I used to be. That was like a pandemic interest for me because I had nothing better to do.
Okay.
Like most people. And now I just don't have time to keep up with that stuff. So keep those coming in. 877-881-1053 for National Just Because Day. The last nice thing you did for yourself. Just because. And from the 425 went to a cigar lounge. There you go.
Ooh.
While sipping on some brandy. That sounds really nice.
Oh, so this is the fancy version of what I've now been told not to call the gentleman's club. Because do you remember this conversation I had with Reggie? This is what I view as the gentleman's club is when you're in your big fancy chairs with like your cognac and your cigar and you're talking to other rich people about rich people things. I don't think of that as the strip club, but I know like those get called gentlemen's clubs. But in my mind, a gentleman's club is like the fancy, where the fancy people go.
Isn't that the men's room? Nope, that's not the same thing
that's
either.
That's different.
Yeah,
that's the parlor is what the gentleman's club, what your description of it is the parlor.
Yeah.
That's what you hope it to be.
Sure.
Although my wife won't let us smoke cigars in the house because, you know, health stuff.
Boo. Do you think there's a hybrid gentleman's club out there that is both strip club and the fancy lounge that I described?
Oh, yeah, there absolutely is.
Okay.
And
that feels like a solid business idea.
You go in, initially it's the fancy one that you're talking about.
Okay.
And then you have to knock on the secret door and then turn the style, and then you got to, you know, push somebody over and slip a 20 to somebody, and then you get into the other one.
That makes sense to me.
It's a complicated process.
It has to be.
Fair enough. From the 214, I bought myself the red bottle of Versace cologne just because it was a Tuesday. I like that logic better than just because it was a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So why not?
I just want to say all of this makes sense to me because there are things, especially if they're financially achievable for you, that like it could just change your outlook on the day, the week, whatever.
From the 469, this is quite the investment. This is not a just because thing, but it is a just because if it was impulse. I spent $1,700 on a bull mastiff puppy for myself just because I wanted it.
Okay.
I mean, we kind of did the same thing with my dog, my Frenchie Finn. It was just like, I think it was one of those like post-divorce things. I was like, I don't have many people to talk to. There's only one other person in the house and he's got a 9-to-5. So, you know, I want a dog. And my dad was like, okay, pick one. And I'm like, I want a Frenchie. And he's like, okay, find one. I was like, I found this one. And he was like, okay, let's go get it.
What does the average dog cost? Now, put aside, like, obviously, I know you can go to shelters and adopt. And we've talked about that is a great way to do it. But I also know dogs can be like crazy expensive. If you had to boil it down, like, what do you think the average dog costs?
I think a lot of people are seeking out the popular dogs now. So the price is just going up and up and up. So I'd say like you're easily in the like $500 to $1,000.
$500 is what I was thinking.
Most of the time, because I think Finn, to get him all sorted out, was like $1,500.
Okay.
Because he's a Frenchie and, you know, that's the ultimate celebrity influencer dog. So, yeah, that was a tough ask. But, hey, you know, sometimes a little bit of childhood trauma can get you what you want sometimes, you know. There you go. Appreciate the interaction there. And, guys, sometimes pro athletes skip work just to have fun. Le'Veon Bell, you might remember him. He had a great run with the Steelers. He went to the New York Jets, and then he was never to be heard from again.
Right.
And he actually might have a valid reason for that. So ML Football is one of those aggregator pages that likes to steal people's content and then never actually give credit for it. So I don't know where he actually said this, but he confirmed
like some people
it.
Who listen to some of our interviews.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, weekly radio hits. Hey, reminder, Bruce Bochy coming up today, as every Wednesday during the season at 12:30 on 105.3 The Fan with the KNC masterpiece. It's not hard to say that. ML Football posted this, and Le'Veon Bell actually confirmed it. The Jets ruled out Le'Veon Bell for a game with the flu, and he missed practices thereafter to end the week, but he was seen on Saturday night bowling around 1 a.m., hours after skipping the team's walkthrough going into a game.
Mm.
And Le'Veon Bell quote tweeted this and said, bowling, greater than sign, Adam Gase's offense.
Oh, dang.
To which I say, you know what? I watched that Jets offense under Adam Gase. I understand. Was it the right way of going about it? Probably not. Do I blame him for it? No. So, hey, get the quote-unquote flu, and you can go out bowling with your friends instead of playing an NFL football game and still get that check since you were technically on the injury report.
I always wonder what the statute of limitations is on things like that, where Gase is just living his day, living his life, and he's like, what the hell? Yeah. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. What the computers say about the Cowboys season to come. Next on The Fan.
At the Bengal 37 with 2:25 in a tie game. Snap to Burrow, back and sets. Rushed in the pocket. He is set. Maris Leofau.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, asking the questions that matter, like, is there a setting on your navigation where you can differentiate between toll roads and express toll roads? I'm fine with taking the toll road, but when they're like, hey, 635 is going to beat you down unless you drive 2 miles for $7, I don't want to do that. So if you know a way to change that particular setting, I am really interested. Otherwise, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and rip it.
And let's start with what the boys and girls in the nerdery have to say about the Cowboys this season. The eggheads that I love so much at The Athletic, they do amazing statistical work, have the Cowboys at 7.9 wins for the season. We'll go ahead and round up. That doesn't feel too difficult. And they've got the Cowboys going 8-9 this season with their playoff odds at 29% and their Super Bowl odds at 1.5%. Unfortunately for the Saints, their Super Bowl odds are 0.0%, which feels, that feels wrong. You should at least get the 0.1, right?
First off, this is why we should just get rid of all computers. All right. Obviously, they don't know what they're doing.
So whenever you see apocalyptic future movies without technology, you're like, good.
Yeah, exactly. Secondly, did the computers not just see that they traded for Awesome Richard yesterday? How are they going to say 0%?
Yeah.
With
To be fair, I believe this was done before that trade. So let's assume now they're up to 0.1.
Or more.
No chance.
Good job, computers.
So 8-9. That feels...
For the Cowboys?
Theoretically about right. Right.
They have the potential to be a very good team, but unproven potential. I feel like I've been in that 8-9, 9-8 range in most conversations. And the thing about it, Kevin, is usually I'm like, no, they're a 10-11 win team, and I feel pretty confident about that. I don't have zero clue how to gauge this team. Talent wise, I look at it and say you're lacking, and coaching wise, I just don't know what they're going to be.
Yeah.
So that's what has me in this place right now. I can be proven wrong. I mean, absolutely, because they could, again, sure, the potential could be a very good team.
Sure.
I just, the drama that's gone on, they can say it hasn't affected them. There's no way that this conversation hasn't affected them. maybe it's also given some other players opportunities that they weren't going to get if Michael was on the field. So,
okay. Now, update on a former quarterback. At least for now, it appears as though Trey Lance has won the backup job in Los Angeles. I still always want to say San Diego with the Chargers. The Chargers cut Taylor Heinicke, which will clear the way for Trey Lance to be the backup quarterback to Justin Herbert. You mentioned it earlier, the Adam Thielen deal did get done to return him to the Vikings. I believe this was a day after Adam Schefter said they've been trying really hard and it's not going to get done. The Panthers get a fifth-round pick in 2026 and a fourth-round pick in 2027. However, the Vikings get Thielen, a conditional seventh-round pick, and a conditional fifth-round pick. So essentially, they traded, depending on if the conditions work out, they traded a seventh-round pick for a fourth-round pick. That's like, essentially, they got back a seventh, gave up a fourth, and got Adam Thielen in the process.
Okay. I mean, you did need a role player for just a little bit.
Sure.
You know, during the suspension. So
yeah, absolutely.
That makes sense, I guess.
The Jaguars made that actually, that's my favorite way of putting it. That makes sense, I guess. So that's the way I think a lot of us feel. So the Lions, they traded off Tim Patrick, who gets picked up by the Jaguars for a 2026 sixth round pick. So there's another, I guess.
Tim Patrick is one of those guys that you're just like, he has all of this potential. Body type, speed.
He is huge.
He has all of this stuff, and you're just like, but there's no reason to keep him around.
Yeah.
Is what most teams seem to think.
Yeah. Now, let's go from that to, and this is probably more relevant, Caleb McGarry is going on the season-ending injured reserve. And this is somebody who got hurt in the team's final practice of training camp. They were hoping for the best. Instead, they get the worst because consider the right tackle is the blindside blocker for Michael Penix, who is a left-handed quarterback.
Yeah, that stinks for him. Stinks for them that late in the process.
Yes,
I mean, heck, they could have traded for Awesome Richards to be on that side.
You think they would have really fixed things up if they got Awesome Richards?
Could have been a bidding war. The Cowboys.
What happened with Awesome Richards? Remember when he was like the one player that got mentioned every single time by the Cowboys to show how much depth they had?
Yeah.
And then when the position was available, they're like, we tried him out at tight end and traded him because he wasn't going to get the spot.
Yeah. I have no clue. And sometimes that happens in coaching changes. You know,
yeah.
Maybe Schottenheimer was like, I never really believed anyway.
Now, in a story that obviously has probably gotten more play than it should, and I'll add to that, Shedeur Sanders did in fact make the Browns roster. He will be QB3 behind Dylan Gabriel, who has won the backup spot.
Did he?
Or was
did Kenny
given,
Pickett get traded and they were like, well, I guess we need a two.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think Shedeur was going to make the roster. I think they were just going to go four quarterbacks, which
would have been
given
ridiculous.
The problem Jeez. That team has,
you know, I think I saw,
it's weird.
I think the headline I saw when Pickett was traded, somebody said, maybe it was Schefter, that was like, the Browns just couldn't bring themselves to
carry four.
And okay. I was like, nor should any other team. Yeah. Like, having that many is ridiculous.
Man, and sometimes you wonder if things in training camp matter. I wonder if, like, is there any part of you that thinks Joe Milton was, like, to the Cowboys, like, a really hot girl to you when you were younger? Where you're like, hey, she's not the best conversationalist, but if she just says what's going on or, like, rubs my shoulder, then I'm in. It feels like the Cowboys are like, hey, Joe Milton has some issues, but if you he can just can, show me
we think
anything,
we can fix him.
Yeah, anything. Show me anything to let me cut Will Grier.
Just
anything.
Please.
And remember, last week, my insane plan of cutting Will Grier to keep Houston looks like it could have played out that way. Yeah, it could have been other positions, but I choose to view it that way. Jimmy Ward has been placed on the commissioner's exempt list. This, of course, means he is not allowed at any team functions. Can't go to the game, can't go to practice. This all stems back from his arrest in June for alleged family violence in his home involving his fiance. So we will see how that plays out in terms of legal things, in terms of potential future suspension. But for right now, he's just on the commissioner's list. He is not available. Now, you knew this was going to happen. Jimmy Johnson has called out Jerry Jones, sort of, about the Netflix documentary. Okay. Because they watched it for 7 hours and 45 minutes and learned nothing. Quote, "We were in Carolina when we were announcing that I was going to go into the Cowboys Ring of Honor. And Jerry told an off-color story. And I said, hey, Jerry. And Jerry goes, no problem. I got final say on editorial content. And then Jimmy followed up while watching the Netflix documentary. He had final say on what was put in the Netflix documentary. It was definitely the Jerry Jones documentary. So in this scenario, Jerry Jones is Michael Jordan and Jimmy Johnson is Scottie Pippen, who does not approve of the editorial decisions that were made. Now,
but we all loved Michael Jordan.
Exactly.
And we all love Jimmy Johnson.
Because he kept winning titles. He wasn't satisfied with those three titles he won. He got suspended from the league, or quote unquote retired.
Jerry won another one.
And then came back and won three. No, I'm counting them in threes.
Okay.
All right? That's how it works, because it's convenient for my narrative this instance.
This goes back to what they both said at the very end of this thing, which was we would make up. And then one of us would say something.
Yeah.
And then we would make up, and then one of us would say something.
By the way, in this same discussion, he mentions once again what a great relationship him and Jerry have. It feels very much like, hey, I'm not like, I don't want to like start any trouble, but just stop. Stop what you're saying right there.
Once you said but.
Yeah.
That was the time.
You should not have said that. But interesting. Exactly. I can do it. Interesting, because sometimes Jerry just says things that are not grounded in reality. I feel like it's fair that Jerry said he had editorial control. I have to go back to that interview because I don't remember if Sean and RJ asked the director or one of the two directors if Jerry had editorial control in this deal.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Sean or RJ or Bobby or Peyton.
Hopefully they're in the meeting right now.
I bet they are.
Man, how cool would it be if, like, at 1:30, everybody on our station just, like, poured into the room and just did this, like,
it's
amazing roundtable? Absolutely.
Settle down. Just
all right, hey, Jerry, I'll try. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, there are other parts to this topic, but from the mind of Corey.
Oh, Tyrus Wheat was claimed by the Lions.
That is not the segment, but we will talk about that. Also, if Micah remains out, who is this team's defensive leader? Plus, Corey will have more reactions to Tyrus Wheat next, right here on The Fan.